guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Everybody's piling on in the room. Come on in the room because we're going to have a great conversation and a discussion tonight. Hit that thumbs up button. Hit that like button. Let everybody know it's real. Hit that subscribe button. What we're going to do, guys, we're going to take a very quick commercial break. So don't y'all move a muscle because we'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio. Don't move a muscle, guys. We'll be right back.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I hope you're wearing your KN95 masks everywhere you go to protect you from all the germs in the air. Also, I want to tell you about this hand sanitizer with aloe vera from IWantAMask.com. It smells so amazing. It's not like other hand sanitizers that leaves your hands feeling clammy and disgusting. So definitely get your hand sanitizer with aloe vera from IWantAMask.com. IWantAMask.com is offering free shipping for all orders over $50.
What's up, family? Check out independent artist from New Jersey, my dude, Mr. Waz Most. That's W-A-Z-M-O-S-T. Check him out. He has his brand new fourth solo album out called Second Class Citizen. It's streaming on all digital platforms. You can also follow Waz Most on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube under Waz Most. Check him out. Second Class Citizen bumping right now.
Black owned, black operated, black excellence. My name is Eternal. Love excels all. I'm a music producer. I've worked side by side with multi-platinum and Grammy Award winning producers to learn my craft. I myself have earned 4 Billboard Top 100 credits. Alternatively, I teach music production, mixing, and how to grow an audience organically. This is targeted, specialized, one-on-one training catering to your specific needs and issues. Love excels all on YouTube and Instagram. Love excels all. Call or text 917-547-9886. Again, that's 917-547-9886. Love excels all.
If you like money and if you like fun, you need to go to Linda Sue Games on YouTube right now and subscribe and click the notification bell. Linda Sue Games is the only channel on YouTube where they post games, videos, and all types of things for you to play and win money every day. Simply go to YouTube and search for Linda Sue Games, L-I-N-D-A, Sue, S-U-E, Games. Go there right now.
My name is Brother Hamilton, and I was inspired by the New Voices of Black Media and Dr. Claude Anderson to form the Black American Corporation. It's a grassroots organization formed by foundational Black Americans to promote wealth and economic prosperity in the Black communities across America through cooperative economics and business development. I invite you to come join us in putting our resources together to create an institution of wealth that benefits us all as a group of people. Please visit us at www.blackamericancorp.com. That's www.blackamericancorp.com. Thank you.
Yo, check out the website 100%rotten.com. That is the black-owned website where you can buy all types of t-shirts and accessories so you can look fly. You can get their Ogun t-shirts, their social distancing t-shirts, their riot t-shirts, and so much more. They even have iPhone cases that look real fly too. Again, go to 100%rotten.com. Use the coupon code KINGFLEX to get 15% off on purchases. That's 100, the word percent, the word rotten.com.
Are you ready to start your own business? Well, we have the ultimate home-based business model to share with you. Home healthcare is a $400 business that remains untapped. We can teach you how to start a home-based healthcare business. Learn how to make profits every time a patient receives healthcare at home. No products to sell or buy. No medical degree or experience required. Start learning today. Go to CareReadyPlus.com. That's CareReadyPlus.com.
As the world fights this deadly virus, one of the best ways to stay safe is to build an immunity that can withstand every disease and ailment without the need for medicines or drugs. With proper exercise and nutrition, immune-boosting vitamins, and a smoothie recipe from HerbalOrganicProducts.com, you'll be ready for the fight. At HerbalOrganicProducts.com, you can download their ebook that details how to make vitamin-rich smoothies that will help you fight diseases and are absolutely delicious. You'll even learn about top herbs that can add a spark to your sex life. Check out HerbalOrganicProducts.com and place your order today.
On August 1st, 2020, you need to head to the Black-owned and operated Hip Hop Juice Box Cafe in Emeryville, California from 7:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. as the World of BC Productions presents the LOB event, a panel discussion. At this event, the panelists will discuss hot topics such as sex, finance, romance, and the current state of love in 2020. General admission tickets are $10 and $20 at the door. Tickets and seating are limited, so act fast. Bring your friend, your boo, and anyone else too. It's going to be a night to remember. Also, remember they're going to be complying with the COVID-19 ordinances, so be safe. Go to lovespeaks.eventbrite.com to purchase your tickets now. That's lovespeaks.eventbrite.com.
Are you planning on purchasing a home, car, or rental property in the near future? If so, you need to make sure you have good, solid credit scores. And if you need to repair or fix your credit, you definitely want to check your scores and reports first to get started. To get a free copy of your credit report, go to gsfinancialservicesllc.com. That's gsfinancialservicesllc.com to get a free copy of your credit report today.
Are you looking to build a home business that leaves you feeling good about the work you do and lives you touch at the end of the day? Make money as a credit repair specialist with your very own franchise. Work from anywhere with just your computer or smartphone. And the best part is, once you enroll customers, the company provides support for all your customers, as well as online support. Just refer your clients, we do the work, and you get paid residual income. We provide you with a website, marketing materials, client support, and best of all, a very low startup cost. It's a complete business franchise in a box. For more info or to get started today, just visit creditagentbusiness.com. That's creditagentbusiness.com.
In these difficult times, it's important to let our children know that we have their backs. That's why there's a hot new company putting our children's self-worth center stage. It's called MyStoryMagicalWorld.com. That's MyStoryMagicalWorld.com. There you will find novel accessories and toys for girls of all ages, celebrating the things that make them special. As the company grows, they do have plans for boys' empowerment lines as well. So check out MyStoryMagicalWorld.com right now.
If you are looking for an educational program to keep your children engaged and learning during the quarantine, order Gifted and Lit. Gifted and Lit is an award-winning program that teaches kids math, science, language arts, financial literacy, and more. Download their content instantly at giftedandlit.com. Remember, that's giftedandlit.com.
Yo guys, are you looking for a constructive gift for a friend, family member, loved one, or anybody? You need to check out justice.pearlsync.com. Now that's an FBA-owned company and they sell beautiful, high-quality sets of notebooks that includes an impressive gift box. So you need to check them out right now at justice.pearlsync.com. That's justice.pearlsync.com. Hey, black nerds out there. Are you tired of nerdy platforms that refuse to acknowledge white supremacy and geek culture? Do you seek a black nerd podcast that not only covers nerdy topics such as anime, video games, movies, and TV shows, but also subjects that only black nerds can relate to? If so, then head on over to the world's first and only black nerd empowerment podcast, The Swarthy Nerd, at swarthynerd.com. Join the host, TV Guru, and Yuki the Snowman every Tuesday on their mission to provide information and empowerment to black nerds everywhere. Again, that's The Swarthy Nerd at swarthynerd.com. Swarthy is spelled S W-A-R-T-H-Y, nerd.com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I say, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Oh, we're here, ladies and gentlemen. We're here. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Welcome to Tariq Radio. Everybody, I need y'all to hit that thumbs up button. Hit that like button. And hit that subscribe button if you have not subscribed already. Ladies and gentlemen, so glad to have y'all here. Nice mellow night. I'm chilling. And the show is basically on time. We're doing it on Wednesday. So it's here. We're here and we're live. So we're going to get right into it. By the way, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1 through 5 and 1804 and all that good stuff. But let's get right into it. A lot of controversy today over our brother, Mr. Nick Cannon. My brother Nick Cannon, I was on his broadcast not too long ago. Nick Cannon did a lot of very woke interviews. He's been doing a lot of very woke content on his YouTube channel lately. And he's working on a very woke documentary that I'm in, by the way, about Dr. Sebi and Nipsey Hussle. So when you start doing stuff like that, you know, that makes the white supremacists, that gets them on alert. When we start doing things and using their systems, using their mechanisms, using their rooms, using the notoriety that they've helped elevate, and we start to flip that and use it for something constructive, boy, they feel a certain way about that. They feel a certain way about that, and they look for something that they can flip and twist and manipulate in order to yank your chain a little bit. See, this is how they do with us. When they see a black person who they've elevated in their mind, they say, we've given this person a lot of notoriety. We've given this person shine. We've had this person on our platforms for years, and now they think they're going to get woke and turn on us? Well, we're going to have to yank that chain. See, this is how they think. I'm letting you know how the white supremacists think. This is how they think. So Nick has been doing a lot of woke stuff, and they were looking for something to flip on him. And he did an interview with Griff. And Nick was talking about the nature of the white supremacists, talking about the mindset that was created in Europe. He was basically talking about some stuff that we talked about in Hidden Colors. Our brother Anthony Browder broke it down in Hidden Colors, how, you know, in the mindset of the white supremacists coming from an environment of economic or environmental deprivation, where you had to conduct yourself in a savage way in order to survive. This creates a white supremacist mindset. Part of your environment that you were made up in, that has an effect on your mindset. Black people, we grew up, we came up in tropical environments where there was an abundance. When black people were on their own, there was an abundance in nature. We had everything in our tropical environment. So there was no reason to be cutthroat. There was no reason to scratch, fight, kill everybody we came across. There was no reason for that. We had a very hospitable nature because we had an abundance. So when people come in to society and they come from these hostile backgrounds, not just up there in the ice of Europe, I'm talking history and geography right now. This is not opinion. We're just talking history and geography. When you come from hostile environments, that has a makeup, that has something to do with your mindset. Even being in the sand, that's another thing too. We always forget about that sand. People who are out there in them deserts, that creates somewhat of a hostile mentality too. But I digress as far as that. But Nick said some heavy stuff on his broadcast, and the white supremacists felt a certain way about that. And somewhere in the interview, they mention bankers and 13 families and, you know, a lot of people who control a lot of things. They didn't say any specific names. They didn't say the word Jew or Jewish or nothing like that. They didn't say anything like that. But the white supremacists started using the I'm white and I say so defense. And they said, well, hey, wait a minute. Bankers, 13 families, well, hit dogs are hollering. That's us. You're talking about us. And Nick didn't say any names, but hit dogs holler. Well, that must mean he's talking about us. And then they built an I'm white and I say so narrative around what Nick didn't say. Oh my God. You're talking about a conspiracy that we run the world. Nobody, he didn't say that. But it doesn't matter. It's not about the truth. It's about the triple D's. Deflection, deception, and dominance. That's what today's topic is. And this is what I want y'all to understand about the white supremacist. They use these three D's when they get very desperate. Desperate, that's the fourth D. Desperation. When there's desperation, here comes deflection, deception, and dominance. Right now, the world is looking at foundational Black Americans out in the streets, out on television, if we can get access to it, talking about justice for us, talking about our lives being significant, talking about anti-Black racism coming from the white supremacists. And the white supremacists are doing anything they can to deflect from that. They are deflecting from that any way they can. And if they can deflect by pinning comparative bigotry onto a Black person, that's great. So now white supremacy ain't really that bad, because see, Black folks are bigoted too. Look at Deshaun Jackson with all of his anti-Semitism. You see that game they play? Or look at all these homophobic Black people. Or look at all of these transphobic Black people. Look how transphobic they are. You notice the dominant white society, they're always trying to pile bigotry on victims of white supremacy. You dig? And as they keep deflecting, they have to put extras on words to try to make it seem like words are comparative to the actions of anti-Blackness coming from the dominant white society. And like I said before on another broadcast, they only have really three cards to play when they want to dump bigotry onto Black people. They only have three cards to play. They have the sexism card that they usually put on Black males. Well, Black people, the Black males, you guys are against women because of all of the bitches and hoes and rap songs. So they use the misogyny defense to dump on us. Well, Don Imus said nappy-headed hoes. Well, that's because you Black folks, remember that? Remember that whole game they tried to play? And Oprah's big bread-eating ass was a part of that whole con game? When Don Imus, and by the way, Don Imus remember when he said nappy-headed host? Notice how the white networks and all these people, I think he was connected to CBS, Viacom. They protected him. Speaking of Viacom, which is what Nick Cannon was working with, Viacom immediately severed ties with Nick Cannon because of his non-words, but Don Imus ran out there talking about nappy-headed hoes, and CBS and Viacom and all these people who he was connected with, they protected him. And then they had Mammy Oprah go out there talking about, well, let's focus on the rappers who made Don Imus so misogynistic. It's really the black rappers who made him like this. You see? Yeah, when Michael Richards said nigga, 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 well, it's those rappers that made him say nigga, nigga, nigga. You see? That's the game they play. All about deflection. And the next card they play is the homophobia card. Well, black people, if you don't let us come in here and molest you and rape you, well, damn it, you black folks are homophobic. If you don't let us come in your communities and turn boys into girls, well, that means your community is just inherently homophobic. And they get their Negro minions to help them push that line. And by the way, all of these little Negro minions that you see on TV, you clearly see that everything they do is invalidated at this point, which it never had any validation. But the fact that a black person who goes along with the white supremacists, they elevate them. But the minute you go against what the white supremacists say, they immediately cancel you. That just shows that those Negroes that they parade around are just puppets. They are nullified. And the white supremacists love hiding behind their Negro puppets. Now, again, the third thing they like to project on us, their third card to play, is the anti-Semitism card. We can't say we're racist to anybody, so you must don't like people because of their religion. So you black folks are homophobic, misogynistic, and anti-Semitic towards Jewish white people. And we know those are all lies, but that goes to the next D, which is deception. It's not about the truth. It's about deflection and then deception. The deception comes in the form of massive lies to justify the deflection. Well, the problem is with this misogyny, all these black guys out here abusing women with their big black penises. See, this is the deception they use to justify the deflection of the misogyny lie. With the homophobia, transphobia lie and deflection, they report these incidences of trans people getting beat up. And they keep trying to slip in the lie that it's straight black people doing it. So what they'll do, they'll get Billy Porter or somebody to tell that lie. It's cisgendered people beating up all of these trans people and killing them, which is a fucking lie. That is a bald-faced lie. Nothing can be further from the truth. Whenever they tell that lie, they are deliberately knowing that they're lying. That is a massive lie that straight black people are walking around here looking for trans people to beat up and kill. That is a huge lie. As we know and we've proven over and over again, many of these trans people are getting killed and beat up by other LGBT people. And they're getting killed and beat up by white males and white Hispanics. The Ed Bucks and the Jeffrey Dahmers out here. These are the people that's killing them because these guys are reduced to working into sex industries. And they get into at-risk work and most of those clients are white and Hispanic males. So this is why it's important that we know the truth so we don't fall for the deception. And also now, this whole lie that they're revamping now because the white supremacists are desperate. They had that lie back in the 90s that black people are just inherently anti-Semitic. That was a lie that they were running with in the early 90s, if you remember. So they're trying to bring that lie back because now they're desperate. That is a massive lie. And they had some of their flunky Negro minions put out articles this week promoting the black folks are inherently anti-Semitic lie. One person they had was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They had him do an article in all of the anti-black races on Twitter and social media. They're promoting his article about anti-Semitism in sports, which is a lie. That is not true. Another person they had promoting this lie in the Atlantic publication, and I'm looking it up as we speak because I'm going to read something from it. It's Jemele the Mammy Hill. Now, we know Jemele Hill is a certified goddamn mammy. We've called her out for her mammyism. So she wrote an article, or the white mommy and white daddy elevated her because she got reprimanded for saying something that they deemed anti-Semitic. So they've been spanking her little old musty braids having ass. So she wrote an article. They had her write one because she's a puppet. The anti-Semitism we didn't see, Deshaun Jackson's Hitler moment and mine, showed that black Americans' experience of racism doesn't automatically sensitize us towards other forms of prejudice. This is them trying to promote the lie that black folks are anti-Semitic. And some of this stuff I don't even want to read all the way through, but she said, I made a joke about the Nazi leader who orchestrated the murder of 6 million Jews. Of course, I was aware of the Holocaust. When others pointed out the sensitivity of my statement, I was mortified. I apologized. ESPN suspended me for a week, a punishment that I deserve. So they beat her into submission. They dominated her. See, that's the thing. That's the third D, dominance. They got to dominate you, because the lies and the deception and the deflection, it ultimately goes to dominate you, to browbeat you, to get you back in line. Now, we're going to deprive you of your resources now, nigga. If you start talking out of line, we're going to call you anti-Semitic, and then we're going to start depriving you of shit. So when you are dominated, you got to start buck dancing for them butter biscuits. And in her article, I want to find that one section she said about black society. Where is that? I want to find that one section where she talks about how black people, where is that? I want to find that one part. Okay, here it is. It says, regardless of what happens with Jackson, the unfortunate truth is that some black Americans has shown a cultural blind spot about Jews. Stereotypical and hurtful tropes about Jews are widely accepted in the African-American community. As a kid, I heard my elders in my family say in passing that Jewish people were consumed with making money and that they owned everything. My family never dwelled on the subject, and nothing about their tone indicated anything saying that they were anti-Semitic. Not that a lack of awareness could be an excuse. That doesn't mean that my family or other African Americans are any more or less anti-Semitic than others in America, but experiencing the pain of discrimination and stereotyping didn't prevent them from spreading harmful stereotypes about another group. This is a fucking lie. That is a damn lie. Black people don't sit around talking about no Jewish people. We don't. That is a lie. Why is it a lie? Because it's impractical. It is impractical for us to sit around breaking white people up in ethnic and religious groups. We look at white people as one group because we're dominated by the dominant white society as a group. We don't have a need to break them up in little subgroups and hate on the subgroups. That's completely impractical. That is a lie. When a race soldier cop is beating us in the head, we don't say, oh, damn, these Irish. When a race soldier shoots one of our kids in the back, we don't say, oh, God damn it, he looked like he Italian. No, these people are classified as white. We look at them as one big white block, which is what they are. And we look at them as one big anti-black block, because they try to play this little ethnic game. Remember when we were talking about George Zimmerman and Yanez saying they were practicing white supremacy, the white supremacists tried to play this game. Well, oh, they're not really white. They're Hispanic. That whole temporary denial of whiteness game that they like to play. When everybody's getting called to the fire, well, we're not really white. We're native. I'm Native American. I'm not really white. Wink, wink. That's a con game. That's more deception. That's more deception. We do not look at them as separate groups. We look at the dominant society as a white group because they dominate us as a group. They all, who are classified as white, benefit from systematic white supremacy. It's that simple. So with our brother Nick, they did all this I'm white and I say so stuff about Nick. And, you know, Nick was holding strong for a minute. Viacom said they're going to sever ties with them. They had to make a real big deal about it. And he was saying that he wants to get back control of Wildin' Out. So it was a big thing. A lot of people were talking about it and they were trying to tie in Farrakhan, and that's their only trump card to show black anti-Semitism. The words of Farrakhan that they don't like. Farrakhan has never harmed anybody. He's never disenfranchised anybody. That's not comparative to the anti-black racism that comes from their community. And then people want to have all of these fake discussions about our shared history of oppression. We don't have a shared history of oppression because historically there have been Jewish slave owners. We've been oppressed and disenfranchised by many Jewish people if we're talking history. We're just talking history here. There is zero oppression onto the Jewish community by black people. There were zero black people enslaving Jewish people. There were zero black people gentrifying Jewish people. Zero. Absolutely zero. It is not comparative in any sense of the word. Somebody saying something you don't like and you having the ability to practice the action of anti-black racism and disenfranchisement, we're talking apples and oranges. We're talking apples and vegetables. We're not even talking about fruit. But, excuse me, this whole narrative that we're going to call you anti-Semitic because we're white and we say so, that's nothing but dominance. See, it gets back to dominance. That's what it's really all about. It all boils down to I'm white and I say so. And look at what's called anti-Semitic. Hell, just saying banker, well, they can flip that and say, well, that's anti-Semitic. Remember when Ilhan Omar, what's her name? The Omar, I can't pronounce her name for nothing. The sister out there, the East African sister who's the politician in Minnesota. I can't pronounce Ilhan Omar. I can't think of her name. But she said something about, hey, it's all about the Benjamins. And then they flipped that and said, hey, you're anti-Semitic for saying it's all about the Benjamins because that means that we control all the banking, blah, blah, blah. It's all that projection. She didn't say anything about them controlling the banking or none of that. She just said, hey, it's all about the Benjamins. And then they put their own narrative on it because we're white, we say so, and you niggers are powerless to do anything about it. That's what it was really about. Now, Nick, ultimately tonight, earlier tonight, Nick finally had to apologize. He apologized to the Jewish community. He's going to do the thing where he's meeting with the rabbis. Some people are critical of that, but I get it. I get it. I get that. Nick has, he's playing the game. I get it. And Nick has, he had to take down that interview with Griff. A lot of the recent interviews with me, Joy DeGruy, a lot of the recent interviews he did on his channel, he had to take those down. And I get it. I get it. I'm not going to criticize the brother for that. I get it. This is a chess game here. We got to play chess with them. Because the white supremacists get desperate and start using I'm white and I say so. So you got to understand we're in a system of white supremacy where they'll play the dominance card. when they start getting desperate, because this is a sign of desperation, because these white supremacists feel like they're losing power, so they're making desperate, bold moves like this. See, you're not supposed to show that black people are dominated by you. You're not supposed to be so blatant with it. You're supposed to give the illusion that there's some kind of fairness and democracy. But when you start doing desperate moves like this, and everybody's looking at it real funny, like, oh, damn, y'all doing like that? If we say something that you remotely don't like, all of a sudden we're going to get fired and all of our shows get canceled and we can't do business. But if we're cooning it up, you'll roll out the red carpet. Notice when all of these Negroes get on TV and talk some of the most vile shit about black folks, they don't get canceled because the white networks want that to happen. But Nick, he's playing the game, and I get it. He has to be strategic. I get it. We are in a system of white supremacy. The ultimate name of the game is dominance. So my brother had to apologize. And now we ask the question, since people want to have these fake dialogues and these fake conversations, when will the Jewish community, we're talking about healing, because they keep talking about black and Jewish people shared history, we have to understand each other, and that means we have to sit there and listen to them berate us. But when it comes time to have them listen to us, all of a sudden we got to shut the fuck up and, hey, you're making me uncomfortable talking about how we've mistreated you. You see? And they're getting real nervous now, because there was more pushback this time to a lot of people in the white and Jewish community. They weren't used to this kind of pushback. Usually when they start throwing out, okay, we're going to play the anti-Semitic card and just arbitrarily start calling people anti-Semitic, black people kind of cower away. This time, black people were like, nah, fuck all that. We see that you are the ones who are anti-black. And people started to rally around Nick. So they weren't used to that. See, this is a new thing going on here. They were not used to that. Also, I take my hat off to Diddy. Puffy was like, hey, look, Nick, if you want to, come on over here to Revolt. Come get with some real black-owned businesses, whoop-de-whoop. We'll rock with you. They're not used to that. See, they're used to calling somebody anti-Semitic, which they were trying to do with Farrakhan, and they've been really amping that up, and black folks are still supporting Farrakhan. See, their old tactics aren't working no more. You're not scaring us like you used to. Yeah, we're not getting scared of your false accusations of anti-Semitism because you've been dominating us anyway. So whatever. What else is a name? Okay, y'all firing us anyway. You're killing us anyway. So black folks are like, well, fuck it. We might as well speak truth to power. You understand? Now, that doesn't mean that the coon train isn't chugging along. On Roland Martin's show today, they had some Boulay bootlicks on there. I got to play some of the Boulay bootlicks. They had some of these Negroes on Roland's show talking about the Nick Cannon situation. And let's listen to some of these bootlicks that were on there.
Someone of any power, of any notoriety, get it.
Hold on, let me take it back.
Every time I've seen someone of any power, of any notoriety, get into this debate about blacks and Jews, it doesn't end well. We need to stop it because it doesn't move the ball forward. The only way we can move the ball forward is locking arms with each other and moving forward towards one America. And not this one black America, one white America, one Jewish America, one Irish America. We got to lock arms and move forward together. That is the only way forward. That's the only way we're going to get rid of America's original sin, and we're going to attain or reach freedom, justice.
Okay, how are we going to get rid of America's original sin, and you're scared to talk about everybody's involvement in the slave trade? See, these Boulay niggas love spewing out these, and I forgot what this Negro's name is. It doesn't matter. All of these Boulay niggas are the same. I forgot this nigga's name, and it's not even important. But the original sin, it's slavery. That's the original sin. But if we're going to talk about it, especially with the Jewish community, we can't be afraid to talk about their role in it, which was very significant. And what's interesting, some of them just flat out lie about it, because we were going back and forth debating with people today, and some of them just completely deny that there was a Jewish involvement in the slave trade in America, and some of the most wealthiest slave owners were Jewish. I'm just talking history. This is not a conspiracy theory. Then what they'll do when you bring this up, they will flip and deflect into a deceptive conversation that, well, that plays into a conspiracy that Jewish people control the slave trade. We didn't control the slave. I didn't say that. We said who was very significant in it. We didn't say anything about controlling. You're flipping the narrative. There were very significant Jewish people, just like other white people, in the slave trade. The second in command for the Confederacy was Judah P. Benjamin, who was a Jewish man. Judah P. Benjamin owned 140 slaves, his damn self. There is a Confederate Hebrew cemetery out there in Virginia. So let's be very clear. There was a lot of Jewish people involved in the slave trade. Whether you controlled it or not, whether the government controlled it, it doesn't matter who controlled it, who was involved, who was protected by the government, because the government kept us enslaved. We couldn't get out of slavery because of the government. So this was a systematic thing. We look at it from a systematic standpoint, and everybody was involved in that, especially the people classified as white. Let me play the rest of these bootlegs. Hold on.
And equality.
He says that black people can't be anti-Semitic since we are the original Hebrews, that we are Semitic people.
Why debate that? Why raise it? How is that educational?
Anybody who's been at a barbershop in the West End in Atlanta has heard this exact same speech. And so you have some guy, in incense with a daishiki on who read like a couple pamphlets, and they want to sell you on this this level of mythology. We have real problems right now that we're trying to solve. We don't need to go into the genetic lineage of every group of individuals on the planet Earth. We can solve the problems that we have right now. And if you go through the civil rights movement, you can...
And notice something. Why y'all gonna bring that up? Why even mention that? Why mention that? Why you gonna bring something like that up, nah? No, he didn't say, well, that ain't true. Why even talk about that, nah? That's gonna make white folks uncomfortable. That's gonna make white people uncomfortable. What kind of coon talk is that? Look, there were people who were black who had Hebrew background. Shit, that's a reality. This whole thing, if a black person acknowledges that they might have a Hebrew background or they might be Jewish, all of a sudden, that's supposed to be anti-Semitic. That don't make no sense. So you're anti yourself? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? If there were black Jewish people before. Duh, that's not a conspiracy. That is not a myth. That's not to denigrate anybody. There were black people who were Jewish. There's black people who are still Jewish. A lot of Jewish black people in Ethiopia, all over Africa, all over Africa, not just East Africa. There are Jewish people who are black. That's a reality. Why would you be scared to just say reality, nigga? That's a fucking fact. That's not a damn conspiracy. Hell, you can go look at pictures from the late 1800s, early 1900s. You can see people over there in the Middle East and Africa practicing Judaism with afros and African features. And let's be real. One of the reasons the Nazis had a problem with the Jewish people in Germany was because of the African bloodline they had. That was the problem Hitler had. He was talking about them coming in with that Negro bloodline, contaminating Europe with the Negro bloodline. When you read history, I'm talking history. This is not my opinion. This is not my opinion. Our brother, Dr. Yosef Binyakinen, was Jewish. Let's be real. Our sister, Dr. Welsing, when she went over there to Germany, she studied this stuff and broke it down. Let's be real and talk history. Fuck a conspiracy. Ain't nothing wrong with acknowledging history. That's what we're doing. We're acknowledging history. Okay, now let me play the rest of this bootlicking Sambo.
To the genetic lineage of every group of individuals on the planet Earth, we can solve the problems that we have right now. And if you go through the civil rights movement, you can look at Cheney, Schwerner, and Goodman, who died for this cause. You can look at the...
Those are the guys who, they went down there to Mississippi it was the two, it was a two couple of Jewish guys and a black dude. They went down to Mississippi and they got killed by the Klan. Okay, I'm going to get on that in a second.
NAACP and its founding, where it had a lot of Jewish Americans who were part of the
exactly.
founding of those. Oh, okay. I almost don't want to. It's so easy to debunk. Well, he's trying to talk about the Jewish allyship with black people, and he brought up the NAACP. Family, the NAACP, Spingard, Joel Spingard was running the NAACP. He was a Jewish guy. But the thing is, he wasn't a friend of black society. Spingard was working for the military intelligence organization, MIT, for the United States government, where they were spying on black people. Spingard was out here getting information on black people and giving it to the government, letting them know where black people are going to be meeting up. They were infiltrating black society. These are facts, guys. You can look that up. You can look that up. Some of the leadership, these allies, were working with the government against black people and smiling in our faces. And those bootlicking coons, they still give out the Spingarn Award for the NAACP. They still give that award out, by the way.
Eric Goodman, who died for this cause. You can look at the NAACP and its founding, where it had a lot of Jewish Americans who were part of the founding of those organizations, a lot of financing behind much of the social justice activism right now. Where do you think all these signs come from? Where do you think these banners are coming from? They're being financed, and supported by a diverse group of people who are like-minded.
So what the fuck do them signs mean? Nigga, these signs that they got are talking about all black trans matter. Nigga, yeah. You got all of these diverse groups who are taking the focus off us. They're desperate to take the damn focus off us, coon. That's not a good thing. All of these diverse groups with all these signs, who y'all think giving the money for all that? Nigga, these folks out here with rainbow flags, they're doing everything they can to divert attention away from black struggle. Boy, these Boule coons are the worst.
I go into the conspiracy theory rabbit holes when we can be solving problems right now.
Well, it's interesting, but Dr. Carter, was interesting.
Okay. That's enough. I can only do so much of these bootlicking coons. So they were on there cooning it up, doing the Boule coon thing. And by the way, I've seen a lot of cooning online. There's been a lot of cooning online. You're seeing a lot of these, especially some of these foreign flag Negroes. Some of these foreign flag Negroes are out here showing out for white mommy and white daddy, desperate for butter biscuits. Oh, Nick Cannon, racism be going both ways. Nick Cannon is bigoted as hell. Ain't that right, white mommy and white daddy? Nigga, Dwayne Wade's ass, boy, they pulled his chain real quick. At first, Dwayne Wade, he tweeted, and he changed the tweet so fast, today at 1 p.m. with 12:56 p.m., he tweeted, Nick, we're here for you. Keep leading. Nigga, at 2:30, a couple of hours later, an hour and a half later, somebody must have called the phone. The bussy phone must have rang. And an hour and a half later, Dwayne Wade tweeted, I was too quick to respond without being fully informed about his hateful anti-Semitic remarks. As you all know, I have zero tolerance for any hate speech. Somebody made a call to this nigga. The bussy phone rang. The bussy phone, not the bat phone, the bussy phone rang. This buck broking Sambo. Is he a sports commentator somewhere? Dwayne Wade, does he do sports commentary anywhere? Sounds like whatever network he does sports commentary for, they done called him and said, hey, nigga, take that shit down. That's a truly buck-broken nigga. They called him quick, and they must have an immediate line to get to him. On TNT, yeah, TNT called his ass. Yes, that's what I thought. Yeah, the white sports media industry are anti-black. They make sure these Negroes are are on their P's and Q's. Don't you niggas ever even think about going against white supremacy. You already beat us on the field. You're not going to beat us off the field. They are hell on Negroes in the sports industry. That's why they had to try to buck break Deshaun Jackson. It's very important to yank these niggas' chains. That's why they had to blacklist Kaepernick for calling out racism. They got to really yank your chain. You're dominating us on the field. You cannot dominate us off this field. But listen to the stuff these bootlicks were talking about the NAACP and the civil rights and all this stuff. Because see, this is when we're going to have to get some apologies too for their involvement with some of the anti-black racism that went down. Because see, what happens is when you start pointing out certain things that's done, if we're going to talk about black and Jewish relationships, a lot of them practice the same anti-black racism as the rest of the dominant society. This is a fact. Pointing this out is not anti-Semitic. We're pointing out anti-blackness. Anti-blackness is wrong. We're going to be on the side of truth. I don't give a damn who likes it or not. You always stand on the side of truth. Truth is a God force. I'm standing with the God force. And when we want to talk about truth, we're going to have to look at certain relationships that we've had, and it's not been an allyship type of relationship. It has been exploited. We've had an exploitive relationship with not just the dominant society, but a lot of people in the Jewish community. If we're going to talk truth to power and talk about healing, these Negroes are scared to say this because they don't want to lose a job. Because the name of the game is they get to browbeat us, but we cannot point out their anti-black racism. That's bullshit. I'm going to point out that my family were beaten, sold, and raped by slave masters. Some were Jewish. That's reality. Some of them were Jewish, and some of the people who fought for the Confederacy were Jewish. That's a reality. We got people like Donald Sterling out here, who was a Jewish man who talked about black people like they were damn dogs. Family, some of these myths about black people were created by some people in the Jewish community. These are facts. This curse of Ham stuff that they started to promote. All this stuff, where y'all think this stuff come from? I talked about this the other day. The movie industry where they showed caricatures of black people in blackface, the Al Jolsons, who was a Jewish immigrant, that type of stuff, that justified dehumanizing us and that harmed us as a group. These are facts. The Amos and Andy bullshit that they would put on TV, it was Jewish producers and writers putting this stuff together, denigrating us. Black folks never did that to these groups. Let's be real. Black people have never done anything like that to them. The worst they can say is, well, they don't like what Farrakhan said, and there was a riot in Crown Heights. That's the best they can do. Because somebody was trying to throw the Crown Heights riot up in my face the other day. Well, all those black people were jumping on Jewish people in New York in the early 90s during the Crown Heights riot. And I had to explain to them, and my New York people, y'all know what went down out there. There was already racial tension because the Jewish community was already practicing anti-black racism to the people out there. And then two black kids got killed. They got ran over by a Jewish dude in a car, and that's what set the riots off. Black folks weren't rioting because the people were Jewish. There were two black kids that were killed out there. You think? But no, we're not going to sit back and just let people racially abuse us historically. And if we say something about it, we're going to browbeat you some more and dominate you some more. No, the stuff that happens in your community towards us is wrong. And we're going to call it out. You understand? We're going to call that out. And the thing is, when people try to say, well, damn it, we went through the Holocaust, and that was worse than slavery and all. Whoa. Because that was, what, 4 years that happened? We've gone through 400 years of torture and abuse where there were hundreds of millions of people killed in the slave trade, and we're still being killed to this day. And also, there were Jewish slave owners. So there is no comparative racism. And let me tell you another thing too, because whenever black people call out the racism from the dominant society, and some of the people happen to be Jewish, then all of a sudden, well, we're gonna reprimand you and we're gonna take you to the Holocaust Museum and teach you about bigotry. Let me look, when people try to do that, you let them know, hey, I don't have to go to a museum to know about what happened over there, because it was foundational black American men who were in the army and military during World War II, who were in the front lines going over there to Nazi Germany, killing those Nazis and liberating people out of those concentration camps. See, we're gonna have to let folks know that part of the game, because that's something that people like to downplay. It was foundational black American men like my uncle Eddie, one of my favorite uncles. He was in World War II. And as a matter of fact, he was in World War II when he was like 15 years old. Back then, what they would do, a lot of underage men or children rather, they would forge their information just so they can get into the army. That's what my grandmother did with my uncle. They had to forge his information and change his birth date around on all this paperwork to get him in the military. He was 15 years old fighting in World War II. Brothers signed up to go fight them damn Nazis. The brothers were gung-ho about going over there to fight them damn Nazis. And it was foundational black American men who were really in the front line. Because in these wars, they always put the black men in the front. And these were segregated units out there. And one of the units out there, the 761st unit, the battalion, I'm having a brain fart here. The 761st tank battalion, they were called the Black Panthers. These were the original Black Panthers. These were the original Black Panthers. That's what they called themselves. The Black Panthers came from that. Look that up. The 761st colored unit in World War II. Badass brothers. And they were over there killing Nazis, putting in work, and going into concentration camps, liberating the people. There was a famous poem written by a Holocaust survivor, a girl named Sonya Waits, I think that's her name, and she wrote a poem called Black Messiah, dedicated to the black men who saved her. Look that up. Look up the Black Messiah poem. I posted that on Twitter. It was black men going over there, risking their lives. Like 700 black men died over there in the army, risking their lives to liberate people who were in those concentration camps, fighting and killing those Nazis, fighting for the Jewish community, risking their lives for the Jewish community, and then they come back here and not have any rights of their own. Not only that, they came back here from going over there liberating Jewish people from those concentration camps, only to come back here to the United States and get housing discrimination from Jewish developers like the Levitt brothers. William Levitt, who built the Levitt towns, these were Jewish developers who literally created the modern suburbs. Part of their selling package to sell these suburbs was they weren't going to have any black people there. That was the major selling point. That was the thanks we got. That housing deprivation, a lot of those Jewish developers facilitated that housing deprivation and that racial wealth gap, if we're going to talk history. Let's talk history. And William Levitt, they had him on Time Magazine as the man of the year at one point, I think. Y'all look that up. The Levitt brothers, these were very important dudes. Anti-black as hell. They had strict racial covenants, restricted covenants in their housing deeds where they could not sell or lease to a black person at all. Come on now, let's talk history. This is not my opinion. I'm telling you what history is. And then people try to talk about, well, the coalition that we had in the civil rights movement, the Black and Jewish coalition. Some Jewish brothers got killed. Understand both sides of the fence game. The both sides of the fence game kind of cancels the other out, in my opinion. One cancels out the other. Just like some people were saying, well, there were, in the Civil War, you had some Jewish Confederates and you had some Jewish people working for the Union. That kind of cancels it out. So one can't get props over the other. You can't say, hey, Jewish help, Jewish people help, and then you had Jewish people trying to keep you in slavery. Nah, just leave that one alone. Just like in the Civil Rights Movement. You can't talk about all the people who marched with King were from different backgrounds and all this stuff. But do you know there was a lot of Jewish people that were against Dr. King? There were a gang of people who were Jewish against Dr. King. When Dr. King wrote the letter from Birmingham, the letter from Birmingham jail, I want y'all to read that letter. Read the letter from that Dr. King wrote in jail. And who did he write the letter to? He wrote the letter to some of these clergy, these white clergy out there in Birmingham who didn't want him to have his march, who were, they were against him. And one of them was a Jewish rabbi. He named him Rabbi Milton Grafman. And Milton Grafman had a very infamous quote. The quote was, "The lives of 1,000 Negroes isn't worth one hair on the head of a single Jew." This was a very anti-Black Jewish rabbi that Dr. King was calling out. And Dr. King called out a lot of Jewish people. They don't show you that. He talked about how their anti-Blackness is basically the same as the dominant society. Dr. King would talk about this. Family, remember, a lot of those businesses down there with those segregated water fountains, y'all know when y'all see footage of Black people getting disrespected in these coffee shops and Woolworth, these were Jewish-owned stores. Are you feeling me? A lot of those stores, according to the people there, a lot of these were Jewish-owned stores who would not let Black people in there. With these segregated water fountains and the Jim Crow doors. These were Jewish establishments. Y'all want to look that up? I can give you some names to look up. And Dr. King complained about this. So don't let them run with the whole kumbaya, we were there with Dr. King. Dr. King was complaining about a lot of the anti-Blackness coming from the Jewish community. Let's be real. And hell, the head of the American Nazi Party was a Jewish dude named Dan Burroughs. He was hiding his Jewish identity. He was also a member of the Klan, and these people were known for harassing civil rights workers and civil rights protesters. They were known for harassing and vandalizing certain things that were connected to the civil rights movement. Dan Burroughs, he was a high-ranking Klan member. A New York Times, I think it was a New York reporter who did some research on him, found out, hey, wait a minute, this guy had a bar mitzvah. Is this guy Jewish? And then they let him know, hey, man, we've been doing research on you. Dude, you're in the American Nazi Party and the Klan and you Jewish? What are you doing? And they outed him and then he killed himself. Dan Burroughs, look that up. Look up Dan Burroughs. We're going to do some names here. We're talking history. I'm not disparaging anybody. I'm not name calling. If we're going to talk about our version of the struggle, this is what we're doing. We're talking about struggle. We're talking about struggle here. Another thing I want y'all to look up, as far as those businesses, like I said, a lot of those businesses, especially down there in Birmingham, and I lived in Alabama before, those businesses during the civil rights movement, a lot of them were Jewish owned. One of them, it was a pawn shop family. I want y'all to look this up. It was a man named Joe Dinnerberg. His nickname was Cousin Joe. He owned a pawn shop out there in Alabama. This was one of the guys who was selling the Klan robes to the Klan. He was selling the pistols to the Klan. Joe Denneberg, Cousin Joe. That was his nickname. That's what the Klan called him. It was Jewish merchants selling Klan robes. Because people kind of forget where these Klan robes and shit be coming from. Who sells them? Where they get these robes? Well, somebody's selling these robes. Somebody's making them and selling them. Now, am I getting too heavy here? Because YouTube seems like it's messing with my feed. I don't want to get too deep. And then when you start getting deep and start dropping receipts, you know, folks, your page starts getting funny styles. Funny style things start happening. But look up what I'm saying. This is no conspiracy, what I'm saying. This is not a conspiracy, what I'm saying. I'm just talking about historic facts. If we're going to talk about healing and talking, if we talk about what needs to be done to get to a healing place, that means we're going to have to be honest. See, Germany, they got shit right over in Germany now because they were very honest about what happened to the people, who did it, their role, and how to rectify it. So now things are pretty good over there. See, we're sick over here because nobody wants to own up to a goddamn thing, and people want to keep browbeating the victims of this anti-black terrorism. See, it's all about truth to power, and we got to stop being afraid to speak truth to power. I'm not trying to live in a sick environment and be sick with you and be cooning it up with you. I'm not trying to be up there with Roland and the coon crew. That's not going to be me. I'm staying on God's side, which is the side of truth. And speaking of truth, family, we got to watch a lot of this deception that goes on with a lot of these politicians out here. We got to watch out for a lot of deception. There was an article that came out today. And they're still trying to do the reparations deception because they understand the Democrats are going to be embarrassed because there's not going to be a big black vote turnout. They know this. They know that we're not going to turn out. Ain't nobody giving a damn about Joe Biden. Joe Biden is just not it. He's not. We can see his anti-blackness. We can feel it. We're just not rocking with Joe Biden. So what they're trying to do now, but they know that we want reparations, so they're going to keep trying the same trick over and over again. They're going to keep on pretending they're going to give reparations to black people and then do this little bait and switch thing. This was on CNN and another local Asheville, North Carolina website. In a historic move, now let me read the headline. North Carolina City votes to approve reparations for black residents. Now, they always do this same shit. They start off talking about black people and reparations, and the minute you start reading it, and I already know where to go to, I skip over all the bullshit and I get right to the fine print. But let me start with the bullshit. In a historic move, they're just making a big deal of it. Asheville, North Carolina voted unanimously to approve a reparations resolution for black residents Tuesday night. Asheville, which is 83% white, 12% black, formally apologized for the role it played in slavery, blah, blah, blah. The resolution that passed in a 7-0 city vote does not mandate direct cash payments to descendants of slaves or 40 acres and a mule. Instead, it plans to make investments to areas where black residents face disparities. Con game, con game, con game. Then it starts talking about we're going to allocate resources to minority home ownership and minority business ownership, blah, blah, blah. Bullshit, 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 con game, con game. When they do this, guys, we got to be hostile to these people running this same tired, janky-ass con game that they've been trying to run over and over again. The same thing Joe Biden did, the same thing Kamala Harris tried to do. We're going to do something for black folks, and then when you read it, well, we're going to talk about giving some home ownership for minorities. We're not playing this game no more. we are not playing this game no more. It's sneak gentrification. We understand, family, the minute we go along, they're going to keep testing us, family, and we got to keep telling them to kiss our asses. They're going to keep testing them to see if we're weak. Hey, guys, reparations for black people, meaning minority, people of color. No. We're still not going for that. We're still not going for it. We're still not going for the trick bag. That's just not going to work. Family, they're allocating all types of money and resources specifically for Native Americans and all these other groups. They don't use minority. They use very specific direct terms for these other groups, and they want to come play games around us, and we're not going for it. Speaking of Asheville, there's a very well-known white supremacist woman out there who's gone viral several times by just harassing black people left and right. There was one like 14-year-old black girl that she was harassing. This white woman was talking about, yeah, bitch, come suck my titty. Well, she was basically sexually harassing this black girl, and the black girl was so confused because she's mixed, and she's like, I'm mixed. Like, that don't mean shit. But let me play this, man. This sick white supremacist woman talking to a child like this. And what's even sick, this child keep talking about she mixed. I'm like, okay, that don't mean a goddamn thing in a system of white supremacy. But listen to this.
Step to me, bitch. Step to me, bitch. You nigger loving whore child. Step to me, bitch. Let me see your titties so I can, you can suck my dick, bitch. Oh, get it, baby. Let me see your titties. You gonna record me, bitch? Go ahead, because I hate niggers and I hate you, bitch. I hate niggers, nigger lovers like you, bitch. Go ahead and record it. Let me see your titties, bitch. Cause I stand there, record me all you want to. What you looking at the black man for? He ain't gonna do shit.
Cause he looking black, laughing at your racist ass.
Black people more than the fucking niggers do. Get the fuck out of here, bitch.
I'm mixed. What the?
Shut the fuck up, you ignorant fucking child. Let me see your titties. Your nipples are getting hard, bitch. Let me see them, bitch. How about you come over here and suck
my... Okay, that's enough. Okay. And the girl kept talking about, I'm mixed. Oh, okay. And the woman, white woman, like, oh, you nigger, bitch. So I don't know if this girl was raised by a white woman. I don't know who she was raised by. But the girl kept talking about she's mixed and all this old shit. And by the way, the woman, the racist woman, guys, what's this woman's name? She's out there in Asheville, very known white supremacist. Well, this week, guys, this racist white woman got hit by a fire truck. Somehow something happened and this bitch got hit by a fire truck and she is now in critical condition. So guys, you know, we got to give a shout out to Ogun. Now, I don't know if this woman is she's pulling through, but I heard it's very serious. The injuries, some of the reports are saying she might not make it. I don't know. So, you know, the power of Ogun, we can't really underestimate the power of Ogun. The Ogun spirit is real, but we got to do it. Come on. Ogun. Come on, Ogun. Come on.
Celebrate good times.
Ogun. Shit. Well, Ogun be coming through, don't it? The spirit of Ogun be coming through. Lord, I love it. She can go to hell. Anyway, let me get up out of here, guys. It's been real. We had a very good conversation tonight, man. But again, don't be afraid to stand up for truth. Don't be afraid to speak truth to power. Shout out to our brother Nick for standing strong. Nick, you know, I understand what Nick is doing. Nick is still a rider. Understand that, guys. Nick is playing chess in this game, but Nick is still a rider. We rock with Nick. My brother's going to be good. We're going to make sure he's good. Nick is a rider. Nick stands strong. And everybody, always remember to speak truth to power and live in truth. Holla.